Hello, my name is Shannon Griffin, and welcome to my podcast, Who Knows What? In this podcast, we are going to talk about what the crime was, who were the main players involved, who I believe committed the crime, and who was affected by the disappearance of 5-year-old Adrian McNaughton, who vanished one day into the woods to never be seen again in 1972 while on a family fishing trip. After becoming bored and frustrated by a tangled fishing line. This podcast is brought to you by Anchor, Allison Castellano, and Western New England University psychology courses. The podcast reviewed is Someone Knows Something and is hosted by David Ridgen, who goes to his hometown near Eastern Ontario to investigate. In the podcast, he visits the scene of the crime with the father and sister, who was 2 at the time, to get further insight. He met family friends and fishing buddy Donnie, aka Danny Ring, who was also on the fishing trip. The fishing trip was at Holmes Lake, where there are now hunting camps and is an open area. He also met with John Jervis, another person who was around and interviewed in 1972 after Adrian went missing, the grandson of a car owner that could have been at Holmes Lake that same day. He also brought 2 cadaver dogs to the scene and went back with divers hoping to find remains or a shoe Adrian was wearing that had rubber soles in the lake. I would like to mention here that during the search and rescue, a man named Doug Irwin found 2 sets of footprints that looked like a boy's running shoe, which Adrian was reportedly wearing in a man's moccasin, but this information led the police nowhere. There was also mention from 2 different psychics about a remote town called Clyde Forks. When doing a reading about Adrian's fate and whereabouts, this was mentioned. So there were questions about if he grew up with the person that took him there, and does he remember who he really is. At the end of the podcast, he tries to make contact with the police department in the area, but the person he was in contact with, Inspector Colin Slight, was not able to communicate with David. He called him while he was in the parking lot and left a message for him because he was in a meeting. A few minutes later, he gets a call back with the inspector saying that he was not holding the case because it was held by the criminal investigation branch. Slight said that he had no plans on giving him any response to the questions David wanted to ask. So Slight said that David should send anything to Inspector Rob Hagerman to get in contact with the CIB. Going to the site with different people and the dogs and the divers, there was nothing found, not a jacket, shoe, or shoelace to trace, leaving the family with questions and no hope once again. He said later how bad he felt and how he hates that he was with them asking questions and opening up a deep wound again for this family. This podcast was 11 episodes long and was put out every couple of days, started on March 1st and ending May 12th, 2016. There are 3 possibilities for what happened with this case: kidnapping, an accidental murder, or an animal attack. With kidnapping, someone could have taken Adrian off the rock he was sitting on, with him not making a sound. The rock he was on was, from my understanding, a few feet away, and he was seen to be playing in the leaves just before he went missing by his father and Donnie. with the accidental murder while he was trying to make his way back to his father, finding a road and walking on it, he could have possibly been run over by a vehicle. The theory is that someone could have hit him and then put him into the trunk to get rid of the body. Lastly, the possible animal attack theory. There are known bears to be in the area along with coyotes, so it is possible, but not likely, because Adrian would have cried out for help. There were tests done to see if yelling could be heard, and if Adrian yelled out, he would have been heard. I would like to mention here that Adrian's mother was hoping that someone kidnapped him so he could still be alive. She thought that if he had been gone, this would be what she was hoping for. David told her about a DNA site that takes in DNA from people and can have it on file, so if for some reason someone doesn't know who they are or think that they have gone missing, they can send in their DNA hoping to find a match. She said that she was going to do it along with her husband and their two other children, Lee and Chantel. Now let's look at who the main people involved are. We have Adrian's father, Murray McNaughton, family friend, Donnie Ring, John Jervis, and the random Dodge owner. His father, Murray McNaughton, some people might have thought he was responsible because there are rumors of him being in an institution and how he was recently just in jail before Adrian's disappearance. Someone said that the father turned his back for 15 minutes and he was never to be seen again, and that there was something off about that statement. Donnie Ring was on the fishing trip, so he's a person of interest. In an interview, he said he took part in the search for Adrian, while Murray said he did not. This to me was interesting because I wonder if he said it hoping that no one caught it because he had something to do with it, or if Murray had the wrong information. But my question is, if Donnie was a family friend, if Murray is correct, why didn't he help the search for Adrian? With John Jervis, he was on another lake, but the lake he was on was in the same area. I would also like to mention that Donnie Ring also knows John, calling him Johnny in an interview with David. He was at Holmes Lake that same day early fishing with some friends around 10 a.m., hours before the McNaughton family would arrive. He said he saw a different car there that he had never seen before, a 1956 black and white Dodge with two males, two females, and children. He told a newspaper reporter that he heard Adrian yelling while he was fishing. However, in an interview with David, he said he never heard him, but heard people yelling, not knowing what they were yelling for. Lastly, we have the black and white 1956 Dodge owner. There wasn't much about this information given with the owner, but when talking to a grandson of a possible owner, there was talk that it wasn't even the right car. This person is pretty much a dead end, but worth mentioning. Everyone David talked to seemed to be upset and willing to take the time to go back to the crime scene and go through this pain all over again. However, if I had to pin this crime on anyone, it would be both Donnie Ring and John Jervis. This is why. With Donnie Ring, he was at the lake with the family on the day Adrian went missing. He also said he looked back to see Adrian playing in the leaves and moving further and further away. Yes, there was no talk about if he went to go looking for him right away, but by Murray, he said he was not on the official search and rescue mission. With John Jervis, he was in the area at the other neighboring lake. He also made that false report about hearing Adrian, but later saying that it was incorrect. When David asked Murray if he knew about John Jervis, he said no, but Donnie said yes, calling him Johnny, like a friend would. There was also no talk about him being part of the search and rescue mission. John also said he was on his deck while hearing people calling out, so my question is, did they bring Adrian to his house? With the two of them knowing each other, Donnie being a close contact with Adrian, and John being at the neighboring lake that same day seems interesting enough to look further into. Did they know that they were going to be both at the same lake? Were they not at the search and rescue mission because they were together? These are all questions that should have been answered. The parties that were impacted or affected by this crime were his father, Murray, his brother, Lee, his mother, and his sister, Chantel. His father was affected by this because he was one of the adults that was supposed to be looking out for him on this trip. He mentioned in the interview with David that Adrian was his little buddy and that they were always with each other, and he would say to him, "Oh, you're back again?" He was also thought to be the reason Adrian went missing in town, since he was just out of jail recently and rumored to be in an institution previously. With his brother Lee, he was older and on the fishing trip. He was actually sent to the car to go see if he was there. With his father calling out, asking if Adrian was there, Lee responded, yes, but misheard his father, making it seem like he had been found, when in reality, it just put a halt to the search. Like any mother, she hated losing a child. When talking with David, she said that she enjoyed having somebody try to get more information about the case out there, opening it up again, but said she was dreading meeting with David, opening up a wound over and over and over again every time he came to visit. With his sister Chantel, she was only 2 years old when Adrian went missing, and she was not on the fishing trip because she stayed with her mother. She told David that she doesn't remember him at all and felt that she had been robbed for an opportunity to get to know her own brother. Everyone in the family was affected in their own way. The town was also impacted in looking for a lost little boy they may have known. Two teachers from a school went to search to look for Adrian because they knew the family needed their help along with the community. In the end, Adrian has a family that is still willing to go the extra mile to find their son after years of grieving and hope. This case can be a lesson to parents around the world to always be looking at their children with a third eye. The family will continue to keep in contact with the CIB and anyone willing to give any tips to help the search in finding their son. This podcast has been brought to you by Anchor, Allison Castellano, and Western New England University Psychology Courses. I am Shannon Griffin, and thank you for listening to my podcast, Who Knows What, where I talk about what the crime was, being either kidnapping, an accidental murder, or an animal attack, who are the main players involved, being Adrian's father, Murray McNaughton, family friend, Donnie Ring, John Jervis, and the random Dodge owner, who I believed committed the crime, being Donnie Ring and John Jervis, and who was affected by the disappearance of 5-year-old Adrie McNaughton, being his father, his brother Lee, his mother, and his sister Chantel. This has been the conclusion to Someone Knows Something, with the case being about missing 5-year-old Adrie McNaughton. If you or someone you know has any information about Adrian, please contact CBC at sks@cbc.ca.